The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
Such an interesting discussion this evening with our shapeshifter who has worked in private education for decades. His name is Sean Fuchs. He is the chief executive and the founder of a fledgling educational institution called Centennial Schools. He was a managing director at Redham House for Gauteng and KZN. Before that, ran Crawford Schools and the Centurus Colleges Group. And previous to that, he was himself in education, formal education, as a history teacher. He ran Crawford College in Lone Hill, would have been your headmaster, possibly, at that particular school. What made you go off on your own, Sean? Good evening.
Hello, Bruce. I got to the point, I think, at the end of 2019, where I realized that I became a teacher for a reason. And one of the reasons becoming a teacher was because you want to make a difference in people's lives. And working in a corporate for-profit space, the priority really became delivering a reputable EBITDA. So for me, that was just against my own value system and just never made sense anymore. And I sort of lost the passion to why I'd become a teacher.
And that's kind of tragic, isn't it? I mean, it is that thing where you look at it and you just go, hold on a second. My job has been to educate. My job has been to illuminate. My job has been to bring sort of help young people make sense of the world and prepare them for a world that doesn't make sense. And somehow when that magic dies, it's a little bit like no longer, you know, I don't know, believing in Peter Pan, I suppose. It's that sort of epiphany moment.
Yeah, it is. I'd come home in 2019 at one point, and my husband had said to me, listen, you've lost the passion. You know, we'd been together at this point now 32 years, so he knows me very well, literally from the start of my career. And that really got to me. I kind of thought about it, and I thought, yeah, if I've lost the passion for what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do and what I've always done, I needed to relook at it. So I'd started writing my memoirs, and my memoirs then eventually was published as a book. And that was telling good stories about the journey I had taken in education and my own journey, just to really try and ignite some of that passion. So I really tried to do something that would, bring back the passion. But I think that corporate space, it really just knocked me quite hard. And I just had enough of it.
Yeah. And so you decide that you're going to, I don't know, double down and launch your own schools business. Now, you've had, I suppose, training from the best of them. Graham Crawford is legendary in South African education. He creates Crawford College, sells that into Advatech, then builds Redham House, sells that into Inspired Schools. And so you've seen the business of education sort of take shape, and you've kind of been part of it, I suppose, first as a teacher, then a head teacher, then as a manager of the school's businesses yourself.
Yeah, I'm a teacher, so I'm going to say to you, David, you've done your homework. Well done.
Say to you, is Sean, Bruce is my name. I know that Bruce and David look and sound the same.
I beg your pardon, okay. Bruce. I beg your pardon.
No teacher ever did that to me, just for the record. No teacher ever did that to me. My good friend Stephen Curtis and I get muddled very often. And it is so much fun when people do that, because they come up to you so kindly and generously. And one person came up to me in the shops one day and went, Stephen. And I went, oh, leave me alone. And this poor man's face dropped like a stone. And I realized that I could leave it like that at that moment and throw Stephen Curtis under the bus, that, you know, this man's superhero, Stephen Curtis, had been so rude to him. But I decided not to. And so instead, I confessed and came clean on it. But yes, they confuse us all the time. I even got called Jeremy Maggs by a hotel concierge at a posh Durban hotel once. Jeremy Maggs was less impressed with that than I was. But anyway, sorry, we digress. Of course, the business of education and learning the mechanism of how to, you know, it's all well and good starting a school, but if you can't run it sustainably, you're doomed, right?
You're absolutely right. But there's a simple philosophy. If you do it well and you deliver the product well, the business almost takes care of itself. So certainly in education, I think that speaks volumes. The challenge you have in education, though, it's a very emotional product. Why? Because parents have their child. We are wanting the best for our child, so we are looking at schools, what type of schools, and there's a lot of emotion involved in it. So you're not manufacturing nuts and bolts in a factory. These are real live human beings. So it becomes a very emotional decision, and running a school properly, all schools will have their challenges because you're dealing with such complete diverse communities that are at your school. But if you run it properly, the profits will take care of itself. I'm a firm believer of that. But priority to that is that you treat people well, you treat people with dignity and look after your people. Your teachers are critical to the success of your business, certainly in education.
But there's a huge competition for great teachers. I mean, it's so vast, in fact, that Curo has started its own teacher education college, basically, to ensure that everybody is, you know, on the same page in terms of education. That you've got not only Curo, but you've got, as I mentioned, Inspired Schools, you've got Advertech, you've got numerous independent schools and smaller education businesses, and Stacey Brewer, of course, working wonders with Spark Schools and others. And it's, I don't know if there are enough great teachers to fill the need that exists.
It's one of the biggest challenges that we have is finding the right teachers. I've fortunately, with 34 years behind me, have networked with an incredible amount of people. So when I founded Centennial Schools, it was vital that I selected the right people and put them into the school, which in itself had changed the pedagogy, how we teach, the thinking, taken tech and driven kind of education with technology. So I also not only had to get good teachers, but I had to get teachers that understood this new change that we were pushing, that they bought into it and they accepted it. And that in itself was a challenge because you, as you say, you have a very small pool of amazing teachers out there, and schools that have them are hanging on to them for dear life.
Absolutely. So talk to me then about what you've created. You call yourselves very ambitiously Centennial Schools, but as far as I can tell, there's only one school so far. I mean, it's early days.
Correct.
Absolutely. But talk to me about the big picture.
It is only one school. So we founded the school in I founded the school in 2021. Opened the doors in 2022. The difference, though, with this, Bruce, is that this school was not backed by corporate funds sort of massive amounts of money. This was me cashing in my pension. This was me bonding the house with as many bonds as I could get to raise the capital to start the school, as well as getting 2-3 shareholders that really believed in the vision that invested in the business. And it's certainly paid off. So we start with Campus One at Sunning Hill in Johannesburg. And we are currently looking to open Campus Two in the Western Cape, in Cape Town itself. We have an incredibly aggressive and strong social media presence. So, for example, on TikTok, we have over 122,000 followers, with our videos being viewed over 38 million times, with 2 million likes. So no school that we know of has been able to achieve that. So the top three questions that are asked on that are: what are your fees, do you have boarding, and when are you coming to Cape Town? So certainly our next campus will open in Cape Town, and we will hopefully make an announcement soon on that. But we do plan to open more campuses, not just the Sunning Hill and the Cape Town one. But it's going to be at our time, and it's going to be the right time and in the right place.
Absolutely. Talk to me then about how you differentiate, because many people who go into independent education are don't believe that the national CAPS curriculum is suited for the future. There is a real concern around that curriculum. Whether that concern is justified or not in a global context, I cannot judge. You teach that. You follow the CAPS curriculum, yet you're an independent school. You will charge independent school fees. What is the differentiating factor when it comes to delivering an education that operates within the constraints of a regulated environment, yet somehow has to prepare kids for the unknown, which is the future?
So Bruce, to backtrack slightly, in order to change the education that we're going to deliver, we needed to change the pedagogy. In other words, how we teach, our teaching methodology. That's the most critical thing. So schools, as they stand at the moment, have easily had two or three generations, even four generations of families go through them. And our students today are sitting in the same classroom, same desk, heaven forbid, sometimes maybe the same teacher, good or bad. You know, that's a separate comment. But the education system has not changed. So post-COVID, so much changed around us, except schools went straight back to pre-COVID thinking and how they operated. And we didn't change it. We had incredible opportunities to change it. So what we did is the thinking was completely redesign the school. So if I'm going to change the pedagogy, I need to change the physical space of the school. So the classroom becomes the learning hub. It's a bigger space. It's dynamic. So it's not just desks in a row. The desks are mobile. They can move and shift around very quickly. If you look on our website, you'll look at the under the tab of Learning Hub, yeah, you'll see how quickly that classroom changes. So depending on what the teacher wants to teach at that point in time and how the teacher is going to deliver it, it could be in groups of three, it could be in groups of four. It encourages collaboration, one of the greatest skills that organizations want today. So changing the pedagogy, yes, we stick with CAPS curriculum. We have to. It's legislated, as you say. We write the IB exams like pretty much every other private school. But over and above changing how we deliver the product, all our students work with laptops. A simple question I ask parents is, when's the last time you took a piece of paper, punched it, put it into a file, lever arch file with file dividers, and they laugh at me. I said, but schools are teaching like that now. That's how your best schools in this country are still teaching, where everyone else is digitized. So we digitize the learning. Everyone works off laptops. We have a strong partnership with ASUS in terms of really getting quality laptops that will see the students through to university. And work is prepared 8 weeks in advance. Students can access in 2 weeks' time, what am I doing in Mr. Fuchs's history class, period three, click, the full lessons there, everything, the introduction, the concept, the sources, PowerPoints. Absolutely everything is for them there. So what you start doing is your teacher's now becoming the master learner. Student is becoming the apprentice learner. Now you're talking quality 21st century education. And by the way, we're heading into the second quarter of the 21st century. So those are critical skills. Over and above all of that, our students do esports, gaming as a subject. It encourages creativity, strategy, communication, thinking skills. We offer entrepreneurship as a subject to our grade eights for an entire year. We partnered with a Canadian organization. They start running, and it's, again, you gamify. So they start with little lemonade stands. They've got to develop CI. They've got to create the brand, look at the product, and they go on to bigger businesses. And then we give them the next lesson is theory. Then they go back to running their business. Our grade sevens and grade sixes, for example, do the Adobe Suite. They are creating, they're designing, content creators, filming. They actually make a film. They're directing it. They're acting in it. They're editing it. They're actually creating musical score. Our grade nines do blockchain and crypto. We get professionals in the training, the pitfalls, the good, the bad, the ugly. How can they use that and incorporate that into their businesses? So we are giving far more skills than just the curriculum. And statistically, we know that 85% of the jobs our students are going to go into by 2030 right now do not exist. So how are we going to get them ready for that? And I think Centennial Schools is doing that in a really constructive and relevant way.
Okay, so Talk to me then about the game plan in terms of this as a business. Chris van der Merwe, the founder of Curo, famously built his first school attached to a church. Another church saw it, said, build us one too. And eventually he was getting himself into a bit of a problem with money. So he went off to PSG, presented to Yanni Mouton and the board at PSG. The story goes, and Chris has affirmed this, that Yanni Mouton pushed his chair back 20 minutes into his presentation and said, yeah, I'm out. I'm leaving. And Chris van der Merwe's heart sunk. And it was Yanni Mouton who went, well, you know, I'm decided. I'm investing my money, my family's money in this business. What PSG does is PSG's business. These are the guys who've got to decide from a PSG perspective, but I'll write you a check. Don't worry about it. I've got another meeting. Cheers. I'm out of here. What is the big picture? What is your goal in terms of creating a business like this from scratch?
Bruce, I think at the outset, I need to say I never started this business with the idea of making money. And that's an important statement. Yes, we will make money. Yes, we will make good money. Our priority is to offer a relevant education to our students to make a difference. And that was goes back to the beginning. Why did I become a teacher? So that's important. And at the same time, when I was canvassing possible investors, the investors needed to have that same value. And they do. They have that same value. So that's critical. Interestingly, the school has seen incredible growth. We started with 35 students in year one. At the start of year three, so having delivered 2 years of education, we're over 250 students. Next year, we'll hit over 350. That growth is incredible. So just in from a numbers point, and I suspect when we go to Cape Town, there is a most definite a want and a will for us to open a school in Cape Town. So we are going to have incredible and very aggressive growth. So again, I know how to run a school, I know how to run a business, and the two combined, I think, is a winning recipe and will deliver a really good, sustainable product. The critical part, get the right people on board. So my leadership team within the school, I don't run the school as the principal. I've been a principal. That's not my job. I have an incredible young dynamic principal in Nkuli Gamede who is running the school. He's understanding, he's learning. I'm mentoring him, guiding him, but he's also working with me and I'm also learning from him in many aspects. And we're putting a really good leadership team together. So each campus will ultimately have a strong leadership team with a clear understanding of what the goals are. And that, to me, speaks to the sustainability of the business. You know, I don't know where we're going to be in 10 years' time. I think we will have a number of campuses. I believe we'll have a number of campuses. But again, as I said earlier, we're going to open them in the right place and at the right time. And we're not going to just open left, right, and center because we need to produce a massive EBITDA for shareholders.
But at some point, I mean, if you're truly driven and passionate about this, as I fundamentally believe you are going to want to have a positive impact on as many young lives as possible. And assuming you get the demand, and there is plenty of demand for education, you are going to be pressured to do it. You are going to have people phoning you up and saying, hey, Sean, I need a school. Deliver. And you're going to be tempted. So how are you going to achieve growth that hopefully, and I can't see why, wouldn't emerge out of the system and that you've created?
Bruce, when you disrupt an industry, and you know business very well, you have your early adopters. And your early adopters believe wholeheartedly in what you're doing. And that for us has been a challenge in the last 2 years because we have disrupted. We got rid of the school uniform. Why? We inherited it from the British colonial system. There's no need for a school uniform. Have a clear dress code. Now that is a huge pain point for many parents. No school uniform, no discipline. What absolute rubbish. That doesn't equate at all. So I think as our schools continue to grow and as people get to understand us and understand that we are probably the most relevant school for the 21st century, I think the growth will be a very natural, strong growth. And again, we would have to, as I say, manage where we place those campuses. A campus like ours, which is very strongly driven by technology, sadly is not for everyone. Not everyone can afford it. You have to bring in a really decent laptop. Now, that in itself for a parent is going to cost between 10 and 15,000 rand. what we've done is we've said, we're not going to ask you for a ridiculous placement fees. Many private schools will ask for placement fees from 10, 15, 20,000 Rand. We don't. We say, give us 6,000 Rand to show us you're serious about your kid coming into our school. There we reserve the place. Use the balance to buy a device for the child. Now, so again, we've tried to balance it to see, let's get this out to as many kids as we can that are on the affordability scale for Centennial Schools. And we certainly are, because we've pitched our fee. If you do more homework, if you see, you'll see our fee is pitched at a very affordable, from a private schooling point of view, in the premier school market. Our fee is really at the entry level. And there was a reason why we did that. We were not going to push those massive fees that parents are paying at the moment after tax for their kids. That was not the priority. And we will deliver a really good profit for the shareholders.
Sean, I wish you luck with it. I'm massively inspired by anybody who wants to revolutionize the critical sector of education. Chief Executive and founder of the ambitiously named Centennial Schools. For now, Centennial School. But I have no doubt there will be many Centennial Schools. Sean Vuchs, thank you.